Hello and welcome back to Your Garden Doula, a holistic harvest journey. And I just wanted to say thank you for coming back for another episode. I received such love on the first episode and I'm so thankful. Yes, I do record in my car and I will not be editing it. So enjoy the podcast anyway. So I'm in my house today and I am going to talk about how I really got to where I am today growing my own food and why I think it's important to grow your own food, because it is. It's so important. Before I gardened, I was kind of aware, right? In the second episode I talked about, like, I was aware of toxic chemicals in the house and toxic dyes and fragrances and questioning authority. And then somewhere in like the early 2000s, I don't know when, but it kind of became a thing where the news and propaganda stuff was talking about how the American diet was terrible for you and how it was super high in fat, super high in carbohydrates, and that's why everybody's obese and has diabetes and heart disease and all these health issues, right? And so that kind of became a thing, I would say, around 2000s, or maybe that's just when I noticed it, but yeah. And so I was aware that food was bad. I think we all are. Like, our diet is crap, right? And I was like many people. I didn't care. Or I still ate it anyway. Or I just, I was like, hey, I'm skinny. So this isn't affecting me. I'm not obese. I don't have heart disease. So I'm fine. I can eat this food and be fine. Well, that's not true. So I wasn't really, even though I was paying attention to all these, dyes and stuff in my actual products I was buying for my body, I wasn't looking at the backs of labels of food. I wasn't questioning that yet. It wasn't until I took a college course that was called Ethics of Food. And that was when I realized that you have to look at the back of the label. And this course, it was like a sociology extra credit or whatever that you have to take, like a requirement for sociology is what I'm trying to say. And it talks about the ethics of food. So it was talking about, you know, privileged people and how they have more access to fresh, healthier foods and how poor communities do not. And that's not something I want to get into on this podcast. But in that time when I was taking this course, just to set the stage, I was a single mom. I had my first daughter. She was probably 1 or 2 years old. I was about 26, 27 years old. And I was on government assistance. I was on WIC, which provides food for moms and children. So all of this stuff really kind of hit home for me because we talked on some of these topics. And so I was really kind of listening. I was really interested in what this teacher had to say. And we reviewed a book in this course, and it was called Cheap. And the book Cheap talked about buying cheap food now, eating cheap food now, buying from the dollar menu at McDonald's, and you pay for that later. Even though it costs less money now, you pay for it later in your healthcare bills. And you will have astronomical healthcare bills if all you do is eat cheap food your whole life. And that was really, like, that really sunk in, you know? I actually took that in and I was like, oh, wow. That makes a lot of sense. Investing in higher quality organic food actually makes you healthier on the long game, right? And so where I'm at in my life is I just had a kid. I gotta have the long game now. I'm no longer, you know, in my 20s eating fast food every day. I don't care if I wake up tomorrow kind of vibe. I'm in mom mode. I'm like, I gotta provide for this kid. I gotta be here for her future. I gotta take care of myself. And that's why I think this course came at the perfect time for me. And I don't know where you're at right now, but when I was sitting in that course and she was saying all these things about food and just, she taught us about genetically modified food. She taught us about food deserts. She taught us about all kinds of really interesting things that I was unaware of. And I was poor at the time. I mean, I was a single mom living in my dad's basement, quite literally, living off of government assistance. And she's talking about you have to buy, you know, organic, non-GMO food. And I'm like, I can't afford that. You know, my WIC gives me $10 a week in produce. That's what my WIC gave me. And you weren't even allowed to get organic, I don't think. It was a long time ago. I don't remember. But you know what I was allowed to get? I was allowed to get Juicy Juice, and I was allowed to get Cheerios, and I was allowed to get milk, but not organic. And so it's just interesting, all those parallels, which is a different topic, so I'll just digress there. But yeah, the food that I was actually had access to was a very low quality, and that would hurt my health and my daughter's health in the long term. So that really got me thinking, and I started, you know, looking at labels now that she kind of explained what these things do, and I started, like, paying attention more to information that was available on the internet about, you know, dye-free food and stuff like that, sugar, high fructose corn syrup, all that stuff, right? And I just started becoming more aware and more aware. And my journey to eating the food that I wanted to eat is probably just now, 10 years later, coming to fruition. Being able to afford the quality of meat and produce that I want. And that's kind of sad, but it's also like, yeah, I got there. I worked really, really hard, and I've gotten to a point where I can afford the things I want. And that didn't come easily. So, yeah, so I just really just want to say, if you are in that situation right now, I do sympathize with you, because I know what it's like to want to buy higher quality and not. And I wanted to share a practical tool with you that, if that is a limiting factor, how to save some money in that department, and what are the big ticket items that you can knock off of your food budget in order to, you know, get the most for your money, especially in these days. So, jumping probably to about 30 years old now, the Whole 30 diet became a big thing. And I think my sister and my mom were doing it. And the diet basically was like, eat real whole foods. And so I did read the book, and I thought it was really good, and it made a lot of sense. So the less processed food you eat, the better. That's a simple equation. It's a linear relationship. The less processed food you eat, the better. The more whole, real foods you eat, the better. So I kind of took this concept, and I just tried buying more whole foods, real foods, and tried to get away from processed foods as a little bit at a time. And so what that journey looked like is kind of what I want to take you through here. So basically, it started as being aware and looking at labels and knowing what I wanted to not buy on labels. And then also looking at fruits and vegetables and buying more whole foods. So one thing that I read the book Whole 30, which is a diet book, but it's not really about dieting. It's about eliminating processed foods. And it's basically an elimination diet. So you cut out a lot of things and then you add them in slowly. I didn't really do that. But what I learned is that you can go on the back of a package and you can look and see if it's just bacon, or does it say bacon and sugar and salt and this, that, and the other. So I just started looking for more whole foods versus processed foods. But what I realized was, so I'm taking you back to the beginning of this journey when I couldn't afford it. And so I couldn't afford to buy the organic fruits and vegetables. So I started a garden around the same time that this was all happening. And I was like, oh, food that I want to buy is really expensive. So what if I offset that cost a little bit by Jibber Sum, right? And at this time I was watching Homesteaders on YouTube, and I was just falling in love with the dream of growing my own produce. So I gave it a whirl, and I loved growing my own food. And I think it was one of those things where I was really successful kind of like my first time. So it stuck, versus like so many people that I meet, they've tried gardening and they failed and they thought like, oh, that means I'm not, that's not made for me. And I think that that's not true. I think that you probably just had maybe a bad foundation, not in like an offensive way, but I was watching tons of homesteading and YouTubing on YouTubing and homesteading and gardeners on YouTube already. So I kind of gathered all of that information that I've seen, and I saw the way that other people's gardens looked and how they built their gardens and what were like the key things that like the successful people had. And I put that all together as like the foundation of my garden. And I think that's why I was so successful the first time with growing a lot of food. Although I started growing my own food and I had no idea what I was doing. So from there, over the years, I started refining and refining my process until I have a garden now, which it basically runs on autopilot. I plant it and I put a lot of mulch down and I don't really have to weed it. I barely water it. My plants grow. I mean, it's really an amazing thing. If you can set it up properly from the beginning, I think that's the key step. So if you've tried gardening before, give it a whirl with a better foundation and I promise that it will be better. I actually have like the garden spot checklist. So this is so important. Putting your garden in the right location where it will get the appropriate amount of sun, like upwards of 8 hours of sun a day or more. That is key to your garden being successful. And there's other things that you should check out as well. I'll put the link for the free garden spot checklist in the description below. But yeah, that is basically how I got to gardening and how it's escalated so much, because I definitely wanted to garden my whole life because both of my parents gardened, but I didn't actually have like a why to garden until after I really started being aware of food and the pesticides and the herbicides and all of the issues with the modern food in our produce aisles today. So it's very, very, very long journey and kind of a backwards journey, but that's typically how I roll. I usually do things backwards. I have a kid and then I go to school and then I get married and then I buy a house. So it's normal that I would plan a garden and then find out about all of these terrible things on and on that's happening in our food system as I go down the rabbit hole. And that's just typical Gina for you. I think that it's so important for people who are listening to me right now, and starting a garden is not obtainable or your budget is really low and you can't grow everything you want to grow, I wanted to provide you with in this episode with a really tangible way to help offset the cost in your grocery budget. So I just want to bring up the fact that there is a list on the EWG, which is like a nonprofit organization, and they have a list called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So if you've never heard of this before, what the EWG does is they run reports of all of the pesticide amounts on fruits and vegetables. And these are from reports from like the FDA, the USDA. So these are sound scientific data, and they measure the amount of pesticides on the fruits and vegetables. And every year they publish like from the last 10 years of reports. So there's a lot of like every year it's pretty much the same thing. And then every once in a while something goes way up or something goes way down. So the number one on the Dirty Dozen almost every year is strawberries. So that means that strawberries have the most pesticides on them. That's what the Dirty Dozen represents. So when I go to the grocery store, I buy organic strawberries only, right? That is worth the extra money in my grocery budget because I know every strawberry pack I buy, if it's not organic, it's going to be covered in pesticides. And that's one of my kids' favorite fruits, right? And I don't want their pesticides in their bloodstreams and urine. So they also have a really nice complimentary list, which is the Clean 15. And this is where you can kind of hack your grocery budget. So the Clean 15 has either zero or very little pesticides on the fruits and vegetables. So these ones, you don't have to spend the extra money for organic because it's not worth it. There's no pesticide on them anyway. So there's not really a difference between conventionally grown and organically grown as far as we're talking about pesticides and herbicides. This could get very nuanced with nutrient density and things, but we'll keep it simple. So for me, I don't buy stuff that's on the Clean 15. I won't waste my money and buy organic. These are things like pineapples, watermelons. I think squash are on there. You can look it up. But the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, actually, I'll put them in the show notes. That's a really good way to see where it's worth spending the money for organic if you can't grow it yourself. Now, I also, now that I'm a gardener, I will also try to grow as many things on the Dirty Dozen list as I can, because that's also worth it, right? It's not worth it if growing a watermelon. First of all, watermelon take up so much space in your garden, and the ones at the store really aren't that bad, right? That's not a fruit you're looking for, like, the most packed nutrient density, right? So that is why I grow a lot of things that I grow is because they're on the Dirty Dozen list, like lettuce and kale. So easy to grow, prolific. You can get a pack of 500 seeds for a dollar, sprinkle them in your garden any time of year, and in 2 weeks, you have fresh lettuce to eat. Like, it's a no-brainer. And they're number 5 on the Dirty Dozen list or something like that. And they're just covered in pesticides. So you can grow them pesticide free in your garden for, and let's talk about the cost of a shell pack of organic lettuce, okay? The prices on that really lately are out of this world. $7-$8 for like a pack of organic lettuce or spinach or kale. I mean, it's out of control. So like, that's so worth it. Grow your own lettuce, grow your own kale. You can do that in a container. You can do that in a garden. You can do that inside your house, literally with like a little grow light. You could grow all the lettuce you want. So weighing the pros and cons of growing food, the Dirty Dozen Clean 15 list helps steer me in that direction. And then I also just love it, so I grow so much more. But that's a good starting point for you and like a tangible way you can say, okay, this is worth spending money on, this is not. That's pretty much my gardening journey. I think it was all over the place, but I hope you got the point. As always, please DM me on Instagram or reach out to me in any way, if you have anything that you want me to talk about or cover, like if you have a question, you're like, I think this would be a good podcast episode, like, let me know. I'm so excited that you're here, and I have so many fun and new podcasts that are coming up, so stay tuned, and I'll talk to you later. Bye, friends.